Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Teresa. And we're talking with the people who are growing, raising, harvesting, and producing food here in our bountiful coastal region.
And also to those who are selling, cooking, serving, and eating the freshest food available in our communities.
Join us today in a conversation about what's in season right now here on the North Coast.
Today we are talking with local community food artists and activists Mary Ann Myers and Rod Nichols, both of Warrenton.
Welcome.
Hi.
Thanks for having us here today.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourselves? How'd you end up here on the coast?
Well, my family moved down here from Gresham in 64. So they've been around for a little while, and my dad always used to joke that that makes people in Gearhart almost local. I've been kind of in and out for all these years, but I came back about 16 years ago to stay, and I've been working and volunteering in the community since then, so since 93.
Wow. And how about you, Rod?
Well, I moved to Oregon back in the 70s. And to the coast about 1991, and shortly after that opened a cafe in Seaside called Vista Sea Cafe.
I remember
that. And that was
people love that
in town
place.
For about 17 years, but is no more now.
And you were in the antiques business for a while too, weren't you?
Escaped the restaurant business for a few years and moved to Arizona and had a antique store in Prescott, Arizona, one of the original settlements in Arizona, the first capital of the state, actually. So they still had a few old things there.
I'm curious how both of you got involved in cooking and restaurants. I know you've both been involved in restaurants off and on throughout your careers. And where did that come from?
I think Rod's probably been involved for more years than I have. But when I moved back here from Austin, Texas in 93, one thing became immediately obvious to me, and that was that employment opportunities were rare.
Limited.
So I just hauled out a few long forgotten skills from being a teenager and working in restaurants and stuff, and got a job at Pacific Way Cafe, actually, in Gearhart.
Oh, yeah.
And then spent the next 16 years waitressing, bartending, managing, owning, and everything in between, from buying stuff to cleaning the grease trap in restaurants around the county and on both sides of the river, actually. So that's where mine comes from.
And now we have you both back here in the community cooking, and Mary Ann, you do lots of
I donate
events.
A lot of stuff to my favorite organizations. I have a very short list of favorite organizations that I will always cook for. So,
and they are very lucky to be cooked for. I know North Coast Land Conservancy has been benefiting from Mary Ann's catering at our 25th anniversary celebrations, and it's been wonderful.
They're definitely on my short list.
Yeah, it's so great. And both of you, I think, are involved in a great project that's sort of a collaborative effort from a lot of organizations, and I think I'll have Kristen list them all just so I don't mess it up. But I'm really excited about this. It's called Cooking Matters. And it's a program that's being offered out at Clatsop Community Action at the Food Bank. And these are cooking classes that you and Rod are doing out there. And tell us more about those and maybe who the partners are and how did you get involved in that?
Well, Rod actually did the first six-week course.
Yeah, we're in the midst of a second six-week course right now. It is a course that's designed to teach people that receive the food from the food bank, how to use the foods if they are fresh foods. Oftentimes the foods that are fresh are not often taken because people may not know what to do with them or afraid that they'll go bad before they get to use them. So we're trying to give some basic instruction on how to have fun cooking and to enjoy eating. And it's been just a wonderful response. I was apprehensive as to what the reaction would be to the classes, but the first class, after my first question was responded to by every hand being raised in the class, I knew it was going to be a good session.
Rod has fans.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
I'm
yeah,
sure.
Totally has fans from that first course of first session of classes. And, you know, one of the things that really is amazing to me is that it seems to me that we're kind of on, not just in our area, but in the country, we're kind of on our second generation of people who have grown up on prepared foods or restaurant foods or not being so able to take raw ingredients and come up with something fabulous. And with the loss of those skills, you lose the love of doing it. And the love of doing it is one of the things that I see coming out of the classes, just the sheer joy of cooking together and eating together at the end of the class. I think this is a program that could go year-round if there was funding for it, and there would always be a receptive audience and a huge benefit as
well,
a result.
Let's talk a little about, for instance, what's being cooked in class, because I think it's kind of amazing the array of foods that end up being prepared and how they get prepared and what leads to what. So one of you want to tackle that? Let's talk about the menu last week. That was a great one.
We had actually Marianne prepared the meals that we were cooked last week, and I presented them in class. We had a chicken that was stuffed with lemon and herbs. We made mashed potatoes. We made two versions of mashed potatoes, one dairy and one non-dairy.
We raised some greens also.
Wow, that's great.
And we actually have done that in the past just by stepping out the front door of the food bank and
snipping some herbs.
<That's so laughs>
or
great.
Some greens.
I think we harvested turnips.
Turnip greens.
Wasn't that it? Yeah. That had been planted. And I think last week it was collards?
We had some collards and kale.
That's right. Yeah. Our
favorite vegetable. Such useful things to be able to teach people how to use, because they are so abundant here.
And so fabulously
I know.
Delicious.
And so often things that people really resist because they don't know what to do with. So, and are you mainly working with people that have never cooked before or that just really don't have cooking skills? Is this a pretty basic?
There's a real mix in the class. What's common is just an interest in learning new ways to cook. A lot of the people are just, they're bored with, they have a routine of cooking two or three items, and they want to learn more cooking skills.
Sometimes even folks who regularly cook a meal for their family in the evening are kind of hard-pressed to think about what to do with dried beans, fresh produce. More familiar with frozen or canned ingredients. And certainly on food assistance programs, you have access to a lot of canned and frozen ingredients, but it's really nice to be able to do. We did a rice and beans meal that was fabulous. And this
wonderful.
Tomorrow we're doing fresh corn and pasta fritters, corn fritters with pasta and fresh vegetables in them. So it's a real opportunity to stop and think about what's available now. And if it's available now, that means A, it's cheaper, and B, it tastes better. So an opportunity to start rethinking about the process of growing the food and when the best time to eat the food is and how to afford the food more easily.
Well, and one of my favorite lessons too is when we talk about how inexpensively you can actually eat, and one of our favorite proteins, I think, is eggs. And I love the class that you did with eggs, Marianne.
We did frittatas.
Right. And it's been fun. All the different things you can put into a frittata. It's quick. It's easy. You can have it for breakfast. You can have it for lunch. You can have it for dinner. And I think that really appealed to a lot of people.
I'm impressed, Rod. I wonder if you were too, at how many people actually go home and cook, repeat the recipe that we do in class during the week. They go home with the ingredients to recreate it. And when you ask how many people cooked it the next week, lots of hands go up. So I think that that's just like...
That's great. So that's really translating into people using the information they're getting in the classes.
Yeah, I think that's
we would have
specific.
Anywhere between 8 and 16 people show up for the classes. And almost every week there was maybe one person that had not prepared the same meal at home. And often it was everyone had prepared it, and almost always someone had done a little twist to make it their recipe.
That's so
which
great.
Was a good sign.
And it's always fun to hear what those are. As simple as the meatloaf, and somebody had stuffed theirs with cheese, and that was pretty neat. And then everybody shares their stories about what they did. These classes are 6 weeks long, and people are encouraged to come for all 6 weeks.
And how do people find out about them? Or if I wanted to take one of these classes, how do you find the people, or how do they find you?
Well, I think that we get to show up and the roster is already filled, so we get the easy part there. But I know that Marlon Martin out at the food bank, the director of our local food bank, is the regional food bank, is very good at going to the food pantries and identifying people that are interested, people who are on food assistance, because we are concentrating on cooking with foods that are available, that are going to show up in their boxes. So he finds people. And right now I've got a class that is about half our volunteers at the individual pantries who are then taking that information out to their pantries and helping people who get the groceries have great ways to deal with it. So,
and you know, just hearing you say that, talking about volunteers at the food pantries, makes me think about how I know that talking earlier, we really wanted to mention about the CCA, the food bank, and the need for volunteers out there. I know they're an amazing group of people out there. Marlon Martin and Grace, I think, are the only staff people out there, and they really do need volunteer help.
And they do so much work with such a small amount of man hours.
So
I mean, they're putting in all the hours. So definitely, if that's something that appeals to you, it's so rewarding, please. 503-861-FOOD is the way to call up and say, hey, I have a minute twice a week or once a week or twice a month, and how can I help?
Yeah, there's such a huge need in the community right now. There's a lot of people who are struggling. I know food pantry use is really up. And
well,
that's
here in Clatsop County, it's 1 in 4 people.
Holy cow.
That is eligible, and over 50% of our children. And I think that it just touches everybody we know.
Yeah. That, you know, there's not that many of us in this county. We ought to all be cooking together every day.
We should.
I know.
Well, we're going to take a little break right now. And if you are just tuning in, we are talking with Marianne Myers and Rod Nichols of Warrenton about cooking in the community and some of the special things that they're doing. You are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, and KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and streaming live at coastradio.org.
You know, we didn't mention earlier who the partners are in this, and I know Clatsop Community Action is one of the groups that's helping with Cooking Matters, OSU Extension, and then North Coast Food Web is also an organization that's been helping that. And all of us, all four of us here are involved in North Coast Food Web. We're all on the board. And we've had a lot of stuff going on in the community this year. Probably the most prominent thing that's been happening just started last Thursday with the River People Farmers Market, which is a farmers market that we helped to get started in the Astoria area, and we had a great opening day market. It was a lot of fun. One of the highlights, I think, for a lot of us was in looking for prepared food vendors. We were kind of struggling with getting people to commit to it. We were a little last minute in putting the market together, and we had the brainstorm in one of our board meetings, well, why don't we put together a cafe sponsored by North Coast Food Web that would cook from what's fresh at the market that day. And Rod bravely stepped up to be the cook on hand.
Did you volunteer or did we draft you?
I think it might have been
quickly volunteered.
Somewhere in between. I think he was unfortunate enough to say, I could do that.
Well, and I think it's important to mention that this was honestly a week before the market opened. I mean, it was the Thursday before
Let's clean out the barn and put
on
the show.
Yeah, it was a little bit of that. But throwing that together in a week was great. But what I'm excited about, and I think going forwards, I think that is a big challenge for people shopping at farmers markets sometimes. You know, there's all this fresh food or, you know, vegetables maybe that you've never seen before. You're not quite sure what to do with. Or, you know, again, it's the problem. It's not just people on food assistance. I think people in general don't know what to do with fresh food. And so having someone right there in front of them, you know, demonstrating, here's things that are on sale at this market. Here's how you throw them together and make a nice sandwich or a salad or something else to eat. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So
let's talk about what you did.
I think what we were talking about just comes down to the point that cooking and eating can be entertainment as well as something that's necessary. It's not just something, it's not a necessity every day. It can be something that brings more than one person, the family, into the kitchen, that can be involved in the shopping as well as the cooking. And what we tried to look at our vendors for the week and to see what might be there. Skippin' On Brand Seafoods was one of our vendors, so we selected a couple seafoods, had some Chinook salmon and some Petrale sole, and had our grill fired up and made a couple small dishes with greens and fish either baked or poached on the grill. Also had a tuna sandwich. We will try to do something a little different every week. We'll probably repeat some items, but I'd like to see what the different vendors bring, and as we bring on new vendors each week, we'll probably bring on new foods for our cafe.
And the pricing on that is?
We're trying to stay in the $7 to $9 range. It's fair food. Food that you can eat while you're walking around the fair. We have some tables and chairs that you can sit and listen to music to also. We have live music each week. We also have lots of good food that you can just snack on.
So let's just talk a little about the makeup of the market, too. What do we have?
It was a lot of fun. I was impressed at the diversity of vendors that we had for opening day. I know there was a couple of vendors that weren't able to make it for opening day, but we had produce from several different vendors, some of them from very new farmers. We had Jeff from Kingfisher Farms down in Nehalem, and Brooke from Love Warrior Gardens out in Svensson, who had a great selection of little produce and
chive vinegar, delicious and beautiful chive vinegar,
and the Puget Island farm,
and then George and Carol from Puget Island, and they actually grow citrus fruit out on their little island.
They had a nice assortment of stuff too. I thought it was great that someone commented that they said they'd have to plant more. They were surprised at the response. I think they were encouraged at the response to the market, and just said, wow, if we're going to come every week, we're going to have to grow more stuff. So I thought that was a great sign. And
a lot of these guys are making value add. I know that George makes wonderful kimchi and sauerkraut.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think this next week we're going to have Larry Nelson from Lana Conscious Farm, and Gary Sunderland from Lazy Creek Farm, and they both are out there on Logan Road and Lewis and Clark Road, so very local. We have fabulous berries.
The berries sold out early. I have to say, if you're going to come next Thursday, come early if you want berries, because they went fast. And I was just really encouraged to see the turnout from the local community. I don't know about you guys, but I saw a lot of local people and people that just wandered over. A lot of people didn't know that it was necessarily happening, but they heard the music or they just saw people walking in that direction, people getting off work and just walked over. And
it's from 3 in the afternoon until 7 in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say come early, we mean be there at 3, because that's when the door actually opens, the door, as it were. But we also have cheese, I think, coming up this next
cheese,
week.
Yes, cheese. Jacob's Creamery will be bringing fresh and aged cheeses.
We have fabulous Blue Scorcher bread.
How
I mean, you've got
and
bread and
food.
Cheese.
And they also have prepared food as well, some great street food. They did tamales, I think.
Yeah,
and
they
stuff
did
too,
tamales.
So.
Beautiful.
It was good.
And some
it's
cold
a four-hour
drinks.
Market, so you could conceivably have two meals.
At least.
That's what I'm thinking.
And dessert. So we will have a dessert item this week. You mentioned that Gary Sunderland's going to be bringing some of his crops in, and he just delivered some rhubarb to me, so I'll be making some dessert item with some rhubarb for Thursday's market.
Well, that's great, and we have live music every week. One of my favorite features and one of the reasons that North Coast Food Web did this was the ability to be able to offer EBT, Emergency Benefits Transfer, and WIC and Senior Nutrition coupons. People can use their coupons at the market. They can use their Oregon Trail cards at the market, which is a wonderful thing and fits right into what you're doing out there at the food bank with your classes.
It's so fabulous. Everybody should have access to good, safe, healthy food, and being able to use whatever food assistance program you might be on is just another way. We've discovered in the cooking classes, I think both of us, that the desire for healthy, good food for your family is not defined by your financial situation. Yeah. Everybody wants that for the people they love. So it's really exciting to me to be part of an organization that's helping to make that happen. And also incubating producers.
Yes.
You know, giving people a chance who are very small farmers to grow a business and meet their customers.
Yeah, and to try it out at a small market. I think that's something that's really nice. It's a small market. It's not very long. It doesn't feel overwhelming as a beginning vendor, I think, to just try it out and see. And I think what we're really hoping is that we will incubate some small food businesses here, whether they are small food producers, farmers, or, you know, someone raising meat animals or eggs or something like that, or, you know, prepared food vendors. I know I was just down at the Manzanita Farmers Market last Friday, and I was a vendor at their very first market, and it was quite a small market.
And what are you selling, Teresa?
Well, our farm does edible plant starts and fresh cut flowers and herbs, and eventually someday produce as well when our elk fences are finished. But what I was struck by at the last Manzanita markets, I think it's maybe in its third or fourth year now, it's grown. You know, there's another, they closed off a side street and to have about maybe eight more vendors. And there was a lot of small food producers there. There was someone selling homemade granola. Mm. There was someone doing these fabulous gourmet crackers. There was a little pastry person. There was, you know, jams and jellies. And all of these are businesses that have arisen in the community because there is this great little market that they're able to sell at. And so we're really hoping that people in our, you know, local community up here in Clatsop County will be inspired and maybe think, hey, I want to try that great food idea that I have and maybe have a booth at this River People Farmers Market and try that out and see. Some of those businesses can go on to become brick and mortar businesses. They could go on and, you know, take on selling at the Astoria Sunday Market, which is a much bigger audience and, you
maybe
know, a lot
need
bigger
to hire
volume.
Help.
Yeah. So, I mean, these are ways that we're really hoping that the North Coast Food Web can help incubate a stronger local food economy. And
I think maybe too that, having over 1,000 people through on our first day on a soft opening is an indicator that it's time.
Yeah. I think it really is. And the feedback that we got from the local community members was really positive. I spoke with a number of people who were there to use their EBT at the market, and they were thrilled to have a place to shop for fresh food locally. And, you know, it made me feel really good. And I kind of wanted to put this question out to all of you, because I know that it's feedback that people get sometimes. The whole idea, I think there's a belief out there that, God, there's really no nice way to say this, but like those people shouldn't be shopping at a farmer's market.
Oh, I've heard statements to that effect.
And what do you say to that? How do you address that?
It's really hard to address that politely, because it's just such an outrageous assumption that you just, you know, the first thing I want to ask is, what planet have you come from? But I think basically, I don't even know where it comes from, but I do know one thing absolutely for sure, based on experience in the community with hands-on food and a wide number of people over many, many years, and that is that it's not true. It's absolutely not true. There isn't a single person out there of any means that doesn't want to give the best food they possibly can to the people that they love.
And who enjoy cooking. I'd love to hear a little bit more about the classes you did with kids earlier in the season.
That was totally fun, Rod.
Yeah, the middle school kids earlier in Seaside.
I think it was a 4-H.
4-H.
4-H and
program.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids were just, they were amazing that they had a lot of motivation to learn how to cook. They wanted it to be their own. They did not want to have someone telling them how to do things. They wanted to find out how to do it, and then it became theirs. And they knew every step. There was a
wildly
a
creative.
A chef's cook
we
night.
And
Iron Chef competition.
Yes, as kind kids. Of a final mm-hmm. exercise for the season, and that was great. Rod and I were fortunate to be able to be on the judging panel, so we ate a lot of really good food. And we ate food that was so creatively
adorned. You do have to talk about
the presentation, which was one of the judging criteria.
Wait, there were smoothies?
Oh, there were lovely smoothies with...
Well, we tasted a really wonderful pink, mostly berry, but mixed fruit mm-hmm. smoothie that was garnished with a strawberry slice and a sprig of parsley.
Parsley.
It was fabulous. Was,
yeah. And beautiful.
Totally fabulous.
And totally
beautiful. It might have been a mint parsley. So.
It might have been one of those rare mint parsleys. Yes. These kids were really, we came to them, they had skills already. They had some knife skills and they'd been cooking for
right.
a while. And they were devoted to
But only
to the,
about 4 weeks. I mean, they only had really a 4-week prep time. So, I mean, I actually am
fabulous.
Always amazed at how quickly kids pick up on things.
That was just so fun.
And those are such great skills to learn when you're young. Well, just to learn that passion for food and to not be afraid of cooking and to mm-hmm. understand how to take raw ingredients and combine them into mm-hmm. something. Those are life skills that I think are so important, and they can help you use food more economically, not waste food, learn how to use all of the fresh food that you have. I mean, think about, you know, the expense of fresh food, and that's an argument that a lot of people have. Oh, you know, I'm on food assistance and I can't afford to buy fresh food because it's so expensive. And I think that if you have, you know, decent cooking skills, you can do a lot with a little and make it
really
go far.
Really helpful, I think, too, to have a group of people so that you can figure out together how to not waste things, come up with stuff that mm-hmm. you might not on your own. Because, you know, a lifetime of cooking, you do kind of tend to get in ruts. And I just am a big proponent of cooking together. The more opportunities we have to cook together, the more opportunities we have to be joyous about touching it, smelling it, chopping it. You know, I mean, the whole process of it to me is insanely sexy. I would certainly like to communicate that to as many people as possible.
Well, and I think what's always exciting at the end of your classes that you do is that there's this silence when everybody has filled up their plates and they're all sitting down and they're just enjoying. And then the conversation starts and everybody's talking about their food, which is always really exciting and wonderful. So,
well, sadly, I think we've come to the end of our conversation, but I just want to give everyone an opportunity to remind people if there are people in the community that are interested in following up on the Cooking Matters classes, they would contact the CCA Food Bank.
861, I believe it's 3663, 861 Food.
So, and also to contact them if they'd be interested in serving as a volunteer at the food bank.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work involved in maintaining the facility out there, and there are just two mm-hmm. paid employees there. So.
And if there's any questions about the River People Farmers Market or any other food matters that you think North Coast Food Web could address, you can contact North Coast Food Web through
.org.
NorthCoastFoodWeb.org.
Or you can contact River People Farmers Market at riverpeoplemarket.org, and you can contact OSU Extension, and they can put you in touch with the good people running North Coast Food Web.
Yeah.
So that is the end of our show today. Thank you for joining us on today's Food Talk, fresh conversations about local food on the North Coast.
We'd like to thank our engineer, Mark Albrecht, and we'd like to thank Luke and Katie for our theme music. And join us next month for more conversations about local food.
This show will be available as a podcast at coastradio.org and can be heard this evening at 8:30 p.m. on KCPB 90.9 FM.